This is the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
On the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. The Jack Del Rio Show is sponsored in part by Carrie Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars,
the voice,
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. A Tuesday evening. Actually, it's September 21st, which normally makes it the first day of fall. But doing some research, I found the autumnal equinox doesn't begin till tomorrow. So tomorrow will be the first day of fall. And I know none of you really wanted to know that at all.
There you have it.
Yep.
You're very informative.
Useless information. Exactly. Call me Cliff Clavin. We'll have issues. Here's the reality of it. We do have breaking news for Jaguars fans, and that is that when the Eagles come to town on Sunday, the starting quarterback for Philadelphia will be Mike Vick. There had been word out of Philadelphia last week that it would be Kevin Cobb, that they had invested their entire spring in him, that he was their guy going forward. He missed most of the first game and all of the second game with a concussion, and so Mike Vick is the starting quarterback, and the coach will be with us in just
I got to go.
I
got to go get ready for Michael.
Yeah, you got to change that around. Did you expect that? I mean, were you planning for him anyway? Just based
no,
on the
No, I've got to go. We've got to change everything, though.
Yeah. Like, just give us a moment real quick to talk about game planning in general. I mean, when you've got a situation like that, in general, you do prepare for both guys.
Yeah, you have to.
I mean, you never
Because you know he's going to play anyway. I mean, you know, they use him as part of their offense anyhow. So there's no way you prepare for a ball game against the Eagles and don't prepare for both quarterbacks. You have to.
How good was he against Detroit in watching the tape?
He made some plays.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made some plays. I think the Green Bay game, when he came in, he injected a little life into the team and made some plays. So, yeah, no, he's done some great things in the first 2 weeks.
Can you take the book on Mike Vick that existed before he left the game and apply it to him now that he's returned? I mean, is he the same guy? Guy with, you know, that can just escape on a dime and has that arm. I mean, he was a career 54, 55 passer rating guy, so no one really thought of him as that pocket passer who's going to pick you apart, but he's got a strong enough arm to make plays when he's out on the run. I mean, is he the same guy or has he changed dramatically?
I think he's changed in that he's been groomed in Andy Reid's offense there in Philadelphia and
superior
probably
coach.
Probably feels more comfortable throwing the football out of the pocket than he ever has. I would think. I mean, you'd have to ask him.
Well, Atlanta was always a running team. I mean, they had Warwick Dunn. They had the big kid from Michigan State, the big bruising T.J. Duckett. And they were, as with Mike Vick, they were a dominant. They were the number one running team. I think over a couple of year span there, they averaged 170 rushing yards per game, and you were second at 154, 155, which is obviously good enough to lead the league in most cases.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was dominantly, that's not the right word, he was predominantly a running quarterback. And now, obviously, he's got some real weapons in DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin.
Sure
I
does.
I think Celek, the tight end, is a really talented guy, and McCoy out of the backfield, so maybe he doesn't have to run quite as much.
I'm nodding.
Yeah, that doesn't work all that well in radio and TV. It works great. The head coach is here. You can join us as well. Phone number 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Of course, you can also hit us with a tweet. At Jags Voice brings it right to us, and we'll get right back to the action. But first, you can test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. Brian Sexton back with the head coach. Thanks to the good folks at SeaBest also. Who have brought in salmon and scallops and shrimp, and you can taste all of those. They'll be sampling what they bring in here on Tuesdays. They will be sampling on the Pepsi Plaza in the pregame show on Sundays. So don't miss it. Try it all out. I like the scallops. Shouldn't be eating them, but they're delicious. And we've already had a couple coaches come by and ask, you know, when can they come back and what will we bring over to them? And
good stuff.
Yeah. You don't want to miss it at all. Jaguars and Eagles Sunday. It is a late game, 4:05 for the kickoff there, which means that we will begin with our coverage at 1 o'clock with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show. Jaguars pregame comes around at 3, kickoff, followed by the Aetna Big Halftime Show, the Winn-Dixie postgame show, and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. Let's take this break. We'll come back and talk about the Jaguars and Eagles. We'll take your calls and continue on with an hour of the Jack Del Rio Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Rolling right along here on a Tuesday evening. That means the Jack Del Rio Show across the Jaguars Radio Network. You can join us. 800-355-NFL1, 355-NFL1, should you choose. Again, the news across NFL headlines today is that Andy Reid has given the ball to Mike Vick, which means we'll see him as the starting quarterback on Sunday when the Jaguars host the Philadelphia Eagles. You get back to work with your football team tomorrow, and I think a lot of the guys pretty much expected to see plenty of Vick anyway.
Yes, yeah, no, I mean, no question.
Darryl Smith, Aaron Kampman, they all said we expect to see him.
Well, I mean, we knew when we started the year that we were going to see Tim Tebow in week one and Michael Vick in week three. We knew we were going to see some running quarterbacks. So I think, you know, we've had an off season to kind of prepare for that type of thing and gather some thoughts. And it's not a surprise.
Right.
And, you know, both teams had quarterbacks that we knew would line up at minimum in some capacity and be a run pass threat. So I think with Michael coming to town, now being a starter, obviously that'll ramp up the urgency to prepare for some of that stuff.
Well, and it helps you in a sense because you can now narrow it down to him.
Not really.
Really? You're still going to prepare for Cobb?
You have to. No, I think you have to be prepared for both guys. It may not seem like it, but we look at all of the backup quarterbacks and guys that may enter the game and try and have an idea of how we want to approach them and attack them. And, you know, there's certain things that guys are stronger at than others. And, you know, clearly Michael has the ability to tuck the ball and take off like an elite running back. Not just a running back, an elite running back.
Real speed. Top-end speed.
He's got some speed, yeah. And he's got a strong arm. I mean, the guy can throw it a long way. So
there's never been the knock on his arm. I mean, everyone knew that he had a strong. It was just whether he was accurate or not. And as you mentioned, Andy Reid's a pretty good quarterback coach. And they've got a pretty talented football team. I mean,
yes,
they've got a lot of guys that can pressure a defense with their speed.
Yes, they do. DeShaun Jackson being number one.
Yeah, he doesn't even seem like he runs. It almost seems like he glides. He's so quick. And then when he kicks it into gear, I mean, your awareness of a guy like that has always got to be just acute, doesn't it?
I can't even dream that fast.
You mean you didn't get to?
I haven't even. I can't dream that fast. I mean, can you imagine being that fast? I mean, running effortlessly like that?
He's
a good football player.
He sure is.
Yeah, and he's been a real weapon for him from the day he arrived there in Philadelphia.
And he arrived as a second-round pick, kind of unheralded. I mean,
yes.
Guys knew what he was capable of in college, and then he just turned it on.
Well, there are questions. You know, a lot of people thought maybe he was a system guy. You know, sometimes, you know, players will get numbers, and he had terrific numbers coming out. But sometimes, you know, with Tedford and that system there at Cal, you know, you get that moniker stuck to you, that label that's,
right.
This guy's a system guy. Well, no, he's far from it.
Well, they said the same thing about Aaron Rodgers when he didn't come out and replace Brett Favre the first 2 years, and no one's saying about Aaron Rodgers anymore.
That's right.
No one. He was a bottom third of the first-round pick because he was a Jeff Tedford guy, and they hung Achilles Smith around his neck.
Well, that
look at him now.
That's kind of what happens, though. You know, you have a guy like Achilles that doesn't work out in the same system with the same coach, and then all of a sudden you have a guy that is working out and very, very much so working out in Aaron Rodgers. And DeShaun Jackson, I mean, two great players coming out of that program.
355-NFL1. Let's grab a couple of phone calls here, get the program rolling right along. We'll go out to the beach, and Tony is standing by to talk to the head coach. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thank you, folks. Coach, just want to call and let you know we're behind you 100%. This is just one game. It's early in the season. You guys are doing a great job. Keep your head up. I'm sure you'll correct what the problem is, and we'll move on.
Absolutely.
That's really all I have to say.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate your call tonight. Well, there's no question about it, Tony. You know, win or lose, you know, you're in week two. It's a lot of season left, a lot of football left, a lot of opportunity left. We stumbled last week. Did not get it done. We have to put that way beyond us, way behind us, and move forward. And we will. Our guys will bounce back, eager to get to work, and looking forward to this matchup this weekend.
I'm just curious, and I asked this of a couple of people who, you know, you stand in the line at Starbucks and people want to talk. And
mm-hmm.
I said, does anybody remember who the Jaguars played in week two last year? Well, so far behind most people. They can't even go back. Okay, where were we? What did we do? They just naturally kind of goes away, you know, given if you play well, if you start improving along the way as with 14 weeks you can do, people forget about week two.
It's one game.
You probably already.
It's one game
behind you. 24-hour rule completely in effect for you this week? More so or less so?
Always so.
Always so. No matter what.
It has to be. We got work to do. I mean, we're swamped across the way, getting ready for for what we know is coming. I mean, we cannot stop and continue to feel good and praise and pat ourselves on the back. Nor can we continue to sit and grovel and feel bad and all that. I mean, you have to move on with your work. You move on with your preparation.
That's so hard for, I know, a lot of people to imagine that you can go to the practice field on a Wednesday with your team and not harbor a little, because the old crusty football coach, that has been built up there in football TV lore, driving the guys into the ground on Wednesday. That's why I ask you. I mean, you don't carry any of that over to a Wednesday.
No, it's important that
people know that.
No, I think what's, look, my own family, my wife, my kids, they have a harder time dealing with it because they don't immerse themselves back in work the way I do. I mean, you have to. So as coaches, we're in here Monday, Tuesday, grinding away, eager to get our preparation going on Wednesday to show the players what we've uncovered from all the film study that we've done. And these are the nuggets we have, and these are the ways we're going to attack Michael Vick. These are ways we're going to attack Trent Cole. These are the things we're going to go after him with. And so that's what we're working on.
Right.
The fact that we're sitting here talking about it is only because I have to do this show. And I love talking to the folks that are out there.
Right.
And you're not bad to deal with, but
try.
I mean, it's what I do. It's my job. So I'm doing my job. But
sure.
Believe me, I'd like to just continue to
move ahead.
Focus on the preparation.
355-NFL-1, which is why we're talking about the Eagles. Of course, the story tonight that Mike Vick has been named the starting quarterback for Andy Reid's football team. And let's grab Tom out in Fleming Island across the river. Tom, welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Hello, Coach. And been a ticket holder for 15 years. I've missed one game out of 15 years. And
God bless you.
Thank you. And I also am a captain of one of the teams for Team Teal. But I record the show, or record the game, and then Mondays I get an opportunity, like Jeff Logman does, sit down and go through, because we have house parties on the away games, and there's a lot of activity going on. I watched the playback yesterday. I saw a lot of good things. I mean, out of a miserable loss, I saw a lot of positive things. There is one question mark that some of us as fans have asked ourselves. Gates. The coverage on Gates really surprised us, and I can't figure out what happened.
Boy, that's – Tom, first of all, let me just thank you for the support. You're clearly a big-time fan, and to host parties on game day when we're away and then watch the tape, because, I mean, that's how into it you are. That's pretty impressive. So let me answer that real clearly. We had on three occasions mental errors and dropped coverage. And the only thing I can tell you is that we had a plan to double him on two of those three occasions and actually completely busted it. And I'm not going to give you an alibi about young guys or guys thrust into duty. There was some of that. We had Anthony Smith and Justin Durant. Justin 10 plays into the game and Anthony Smith going into the game. Weren't able to play, and the guys manning those positions, busted.
Right.
And that's what happened. And so there are things that that we expected to do very well to get him slowed down that we dropped the ball on. And so, look, we're all responsible for it. It starts with me. And I've got to do a better job preparing our guys. They've got to do a better job executing the plan. And clearly, I can assure you, Tom, that we knew that Mr. Gates was a guy that was going to need to have a lot of attention. It was our plan to have him doubled most of the day, and we just didn't get that done there. And that was really, of all the things that occurred Sunday, that was the one that was really hard to stomach, because all the time and effort we put into making sure we had him covered up, knowing what a weapon he was. He's a primary weapon. So that was disappointing.
Appreciate the phone call, Tom. Folks, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 6 Jacksonville location. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. And we continue on with the head coach, Jack Del Rio, after this quick timeout on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, Back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Well, season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card. When you purchase at least 10 gallons of gate gasoline, you get $2 in Jag bucks back. For details, go to Jaguars.com. We roll along. Don't forget Jaguars Eagles Sunday right here on these very airwaves. 4:05 kickoff for those of you in Jacksonville. We'll start with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show at 1 o'clock Eastern time. Grab a couple of phone calls, and let's get Joe across the river in Green Cove Springs. Joe, pleasure to have you on the program this evening.
Good evening, guys. Top of the evening.
Hey, Joe. Hey,
Coach, good luck this week.
Thank you.
Coach, how important do you think it is to gain early momentum in playing with a lead instead of opposing just playing catch-up? You know, I think that goes a long way to determining wins and loss.
It definitely does, Joe. I think it's huge. You know, percentages are hugely in your favor if you jump out and score first. If you jump out and have a lead after the first quarter, the winning percentage is extremely high. I don't have it in front of me right now, but we do track those things. And starting fast in a ball game, starting fast in a season, it's all good. And creates positive momentum, creates positive energy, creates confidence in the things you're doing. And there's no question about it. And certainly just the opposite occurs. You know, it can sometimes steamroll in a negative direction, snowball a little bit. And I feel like that's a little bit what happened, you know, Sunday. We go out, we've got a good plan. We know we have a good plan. We go out there and we don't get it done right out of the bat, right? I mean, right out of the gate. And boom, 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 five,
like
six,
slope, yeah.
Six plays later, they're in the end zone dancing. And it's like, you got to be kidding me, you know, and then David went back and we had a guy open deep and underthrew it and end up getting a pick. And so that was not the kind of start that you need to have on the road to go out and beat a good football team. Right. And so we were reeling most of the afternoon. But I appreciate you calling, Joe. Thanks for the call, and hopefully we'll get off to a fast start this weekend.
Thanks, Joe. Let's grab James down the road in Orlando. Up next with the head coach. James, welcome to the program.
Thanks, guys. Coach, how you doing?
Hey, James. How are you tonight?
Good, thanks. Hey, quick question. How do you prepare for Michael Vick? I mean, we could talk about last game and all that, but, I mean, you know he's coming at you, and he's got the speed to burn on the outside. What are you doing to prepare for that?
Well, we've got a guy on our staff named Mark Duffner, and, you know, he was a head coach before in college, and he had this great idea. We may go to it. He got this chicken. And you saw the Rocky movie, right?
Yeah.
And so he got this chicken. And he was going to prepare his football team.
Greased lightning rock.
Yeah. And he got the chicken, and he gathered the team around, and they were getting ready to play in a real elusive quarterback. And he had the manager hold the chicken and got the team around. He told him, okay, we're gonna trap this guy just like we're going to trap the quarterback. We're going to trap this chicken right here. And so they put the chicken down, and he said, that chicken took off. Went right in between everybody and took off in like five counties away in about 30 seconds. And he said he never saw the chicken again. And and he said they didn't stop the quarterback very well either. So, no, it's a little bit of a joke, but it is a true story.
If you do that, I'd love to film it.
It is a true story. But we will do what we can to make sure that we do what we can to contain him, to corral him, to make him, you know, make some tough throws. And you know, it's not like we don't ever see a running quarterback. This guy's just a little faster than some. You know, we play Vince Young. He's in our division. We play him every year. He's a mobile quarterback, a guy that'll take off and run. I think Michael's quite a bit faster than Vince, but still an elusive guy that can run and throw. And so, you know, you have certain things that you want to be able to do against guys that do that, and we'll put that into play on Sunday.
What's the word? Awareness? You know where he is?
Awareness is good for any defense.
Okay.
It's good for any football player. I mean, aware football players, you know, take the things that are indicators that you see on tape that they noticed, you know, during the course of a game, and they apply it right away, and self-correct. And aware football players help you win. Trust me. We're looking for all the aware football players we can find.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's break here at the bottom of the hour. We'll continue. We've got more calls from around Florida and around the country. Join us here on the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, Back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Well, when the Jaguars win, everyone wins at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Mondays or Tuesdays after a win at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. Folks on the line, let's go to it. Let's talk about going to Tim in Orange Park to begin this segment. Tim, welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Hi, Coach. How you doing?
Good evening, Tim.
I've got a little question to ask you. We know that we will be short a backup quarterback, and we'll have Derek Carr. We just wrapped the moment, I know. But with your evaluation, do you think you have any player, existing player now, that could stand up and take the place of Gerard if he got hurt?
Well, that's an interesting question because, you know, in Tennessee this week, you had Dennis Dixon go down, and Charlie Batch was the only backup. If he'd gotten hurt, Antoine Randall-El was going to end up playing quarterback.
As the emergency guy? Sure.
Yeah. Do you have an emergency guy that you prepare every week as well?
Yes. Zach Miller.
Exactly. That makes sense because he was a quarterback in college.
College quarterback. He's our emergency guy. And we actually have, in each ball game, we have a third helmet, third quarterback helmet for him that is kept in a box, locked up in a box that if something were to happen, you can open it up and take the helmet out and he can enter the game. So as an emergency guy, we don't want to get to that obviously, but yes, we do have a third quarterback. Even though he's a tight end, a guy that could take the snaps and play in a dire emergency. And then on our practice squad, we have Brett Ratliff, and he's just only been with us a short while, so we're not comfortable with him just taking the keys and being the backup if anything were to happen to David. So Bauman comes in, knows our system well, veteran guy. He's taken snaps. He understands our system. He understands the game. He's started before. A little more calming influence for a guy like that to be in a backup position. And we'll continue to bring Ratliff along. And Gene is always looking at the wire. I mean, always looking at who's available and who else we may add at all positions, really.
355-NFL-1. We appreciate the call. 355-6351. If you'd like to join us on the program, Junior's next from Buffalo. Hello, Junior. Welcome to the Head Coach's Show.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Hey, Junior. Doing well. How are you tonight?
Good, good. I enjoyed, like, so the game. We can't win every game, and I understand that miscues happen and well, we had a lot of miscues that on Sunday, but good teams know how to bounce back from it. And I think the Jaguars can bounce back from it. I also, like the last caller, a lot of good things in this game. Defensive line, that they played excellent. I saw pressure on it. The only other thing that I didn't see was, again, the secondary. And that's what scared me just a little bit, that when we had San Diego on third and long situations, they were able to pick up those first downs. And just worries me going on to in the rest of the season, especially in our own division, where we got a lot of good quarterbacks and wide receivers that we just can't hold on to that long.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Junior. I think without a doubt, we know we have a solid front. Now, our front did not play up to par, in my opinion, this past week. But when we did get them in third down, we did generate some heat. And we're going to have to be tighter in the back end. There's no question about that. So I would say overall we did not play well defensively. And obviously we turned the ball over six times, so you know we didn't have a great day offensively. The one thing that's amazing, if you looked at this stat line, you said, okay, you never punted on offense. All right, defensively you got three turnovers and you blocked a punt. If you just heard those things, you said, how much did you win by?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, it's not all bad.
Right.
But, you know, listen, we're all about the bottom line. And so I'm not going to sit here and try and pretend like it was acceptable. It wasn't. It was not acceptable in any way, shape, or fashion. So we're going to be better this week. We have to be. And our guys feel stung by what occurred last week. And as I told them, you know, on Monday, I said, hey, look, we all feel that way. We feel like we're a better team than that. You've got to prove it. You've got to prove it on Sundays. You get a chance this Sunday against a good Eagles team. Our crowd will be jacked up and ready to roll, and we've got to go out there and put on a good show.
Well, it's like Tim said. You know, it's everybody loses in the National Football League. I mean, you just don't see undefeated Super Bowl champs anymore. It's about how you get
There's
back up.
There's been one.
Yeah, one. One. And three undefeated championship teams, but you got to go back to the 30s to add those Bears teams into it. And I couldn't help but, you know, watch the TV as we were flying home and Joe Flacco threw four interceptions. Brett Favre had four turnovers, three picks and a fumble. The Titans had seven turnovers that day. A couple of teams. Yeah, I mean, it was a day. Everybody has it. That's the point. It's how you get back up and play the next week.
Yeah. I'm glad. Well, hopefully we got that out of our system. We don't have that anymore.
355-NFL-1 if you'd like to join us with the head coach. Let's grab Andy downtown. Andy, you're up next. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hey, Brian. Hey, Coach.
Hey, Andy. How you doing tonight?
Good. I guess a lot of talk around town, and maybe the reason, maybe what I feel as well, it's the same Jaguars, just different year. And obviously there's certain things that you see that are different from game to game, year to year. What are some of those things that you've seen that in the first two games that are different last year, as in reference to maybe Garrard, how he's working through progressions? And I don't want to get into a lot of that coach speak, but it seems the same old thing, same results.
Yeah, I would strongly disagree with you, Andy. I think that's a very pessimistic way of looking at things. I would just say the first thing I would say is look at our defensive line. How does Aaron Kampman look? How does Tyson Alualu look? I mean, that right there. How does the approach that we're taking on defense with an attacking 4-3 front look? I mean, just that alone. I don't think that you can look at the start of our first two ball games and look at what that line, the shape it's in and how it's performing right now and say it's the same old, same old. I don't buy that. I don't think you can at any juncture make that declaration. So in terms of offensively, you know, last year at this time we had two rookie tackles that were starting. They're now seasoned guys that are stronger, more experienced. You know, we've got depth last year that we didn't have. We've got, you know, with Black and Vinny both as our backup offensive linemen, that's pretty solid depth in our trenches there for our offensive linemen. So right. You're talking about Mercedes Lewis. Is he the same player he was? I mean, has he not taken a step forward? Everywhere you look, you can see reasons to be encouraged and reasons to be optimistic if you choose to. And I would just encourage you to take a real look and make a true evaluation of what you're seeing and don't get caught up in
reading the same old columns.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you hear somebody's take and then that's the response you get, it doesn't surprise me. But I would say take your own objective look at things and look at Mercedes Lewis, look at Aaron Kampman, look at Tyson Alualu, look at Daryl Smith, look at some of the things that we're really poised and ready to do.
Well, and how about just go back a week? Were you saying this after the win over the Broncos? Ask yourself that question. After that win over the Broncos with the sacks, with the passes of David throwing three touchdowns, were you saying same old Jaguars?
No. Well, no, I'm not sure where that would come from. But anyway, I appreciate Andy calling. It certainly gave us a great opportunity to speak to that. And hopefully, Andy, you know, you'll be excited about the things that we're doing because I know we're excited about putting on a good performance for you.
I appreciate the phone call. David joins us from Orange Park. David, you're on the show. What's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing? Coach, I just want to encourage you and tell you keep your head up. You got guys out here that believe in you. And Gene Smith, I think you guys are doing a wonderful job. What I really called about is I want to talk to Brian for a moment.
Okay.
Brian, you know, I listen to a lot of play-by-play guys on the radio, from Gene Deckerhoff to, I mean, you just name it, Larry Munson. And, Coach, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but I have never heard a play-by-play for the home team get on the team as much as Brian does.
Go ahead. What did I say?
Well, I can't give you a for instance.
Whoa, Brian, you lose credibility right there.
Listen.
No. You lose credibility.
You lose credibility.
If you can't give me, you know what? Let me tell you something. I get just as many people that call and complain that I'm a homer. Your perspective, okay. You hear what you want to hear. But if you can give me an example of something that was said,
right,
then
can I explain it. Can I just make a quick point? If you were a columnist or something like David Lamb, I could understand it. But you're the play-by-play for the home team. How do you think the fans, you know, feel when you're putting when you're
I love
making
it, David.
Side remarks and putting the team down.
Well, David,
hold on, voice.
I
can't give you an example.
David, I love it. If you pull something and
pull something.
Get it to me, please, so I can get on. Well, I spent a lot of time with Brian.
Yeah,
And I would definitely check him on.
And I can sit and look you in the eye every week
on any of that, David. So let me know because we certainly need all the support we can get. Thanks for the call, David. I do appreciate you calling the voice to task. I love
the
it.
Voice.
Do you know how many people call? Do you know how many emails I get from people that are exactly opposite, David? Exactly opposite, David.
I believe you,
that
Brian.
That you keep things.
Hold it down, relax,
too
man.
Pure.
My man David came to the rescue,
well,
Jaguar Nation.
Call tomorrow night, David. That's for Wednesday night. Jack Del Rio shows about your football team.
Thank you. David, thanks for the call, man.
Appreciate
I loved it.
We'll be back with more right after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
You're the best, Coach. We're back with the team. We're ready to go.
The voice.
I'm not just me. I just
are you
be
trying?
Me. I just got to be me. I'm
listen,
just me.
I absolutely love the fact that David called you out. You stood up for the
but
Jaguars.
I couldn't give you an example. Is all I'm saying.
It doesn't matter. He felt something.
All right.
He felt something, and he called you out on it. And
okay.
I like that.
Well, you know, the address is 1 Everbank Stadium Place. If he wants to send Everbank Field Place, that's the old yeah. Okay, Everbank Field Place. If you want to send a transcript or something, that's all I'm saying.
Oh,
throw the challenge back out.
I thought you were going to have him send a nice bottle of wine or something.
No. All right, folks, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's bring Paul from Mandarin up next. Paul, you're on the show. Good evening.
Good evening, gentlemen. Coach, I had a question. After a loss like that one, and it's only one loss, and it's a long season, and
yes.
And we know you're going to get better and play better. Have you ever? I've heard of other coaches doing things like bringing a toilet into the locker room, things like that, just kind of symbolic. Hey, we're going to flush this one away and move on. There's a lot of football left to play. I was wondering what your take on doing something like that is.
No, Paul. We didn't do any of that. But I can tell you, it was a quiet ride home, a long quiet ride, and the guys came in the following day, and we backed things up a couple hours, and the guys came in and got their workout in. We watched the film, and we put it behind us. And you know, the way we react is similar to how we would react after a win. You know, I think. You're going to correct the film. It's never as good as you think it was after a win. It's never as bad as you think it was after a loss. And that is always true. And you watch it, you put it behind you, and you turn your attention to the next opponent. That's really what we have done. And I get asked those kind of questions after loss. I don't get asked much about it after wins. But let me tell you, I think it's actually harder after a win. Because sometimes the guys start to think they got things figured out. And,
right.
You know, right now they're stinging. You know, when you get embarrassed like that, and you can't wait to get to work with resolve to get it better. And so our team will be receptive to the coaching they're going to get and be ready to respond, and we expect to play a whole lot better Sunday.
It's funny you said that because my wife said to me this morning, she goes, "Oh, you're going to get a cranky coach tonight." I said, "No, I'm not."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "He's actually better when they lose than when they win, because when you lose, you come in and you bring it, and when they win, you're thinking about the next game. You're on. It's just a win. We're moving on. We're going to the next thing.
Right.
After the loss,
right.
You bring it. It's just an observation that I have.
Yeah.
You said it. Was
you said
it.
A couple times.
Absolutely. Your best stuff comes sometimes when you don't play as well. We'll take a break. Return more with Jack Del Rio after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. We went along a couple of segments ago, so we're going short here to wrap things up. We'll go to Kenneth, who joins us from the West Side. Kenneth, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
Good.
Yeah, Carl, I just wanted to compliment the coach on the job I think that he's doing, you know, with all the adversity and, you know, stuff about the draft choice and all that. I think he's doing a pretty good job, you know, and I just want to compliment him on that and tell him to keep his head up, you know. It's just started the season. Got two games, you know, behind us. Got a long way to go. And to you, Brian, you know, you asked the coach at the beginning of the at the beginning of the broadcast there, how he forget about those things, you know, the loss and all that kind of stuff. Just you kind of slipped that up, you know, when David called in and got on you, stuck it up and go on. Man.
Yeah, I do. You're right. You're exactly right. I can't be mad at David.
Yeah,
I'm not mad at David.
The voice.
Hey, I've been on these airwaves for a long time. That was game 318 for me last week. Not that I'm keeping count.
Right. Okay. You guys have a good one.
318. Hey,
thanks for the call, Kenneth.
Probably haven't always said the right thing every time.
318 ball games.
Yeah, I just keep moving right along.
The voice continues.
Yeah, I just do not want this about me. Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about you.
Talk about our upcoming ball game.
Against the Eagles. On Jaguars Radio. All right, folks, back to wrap up a surprisingly eventful show this evening. Jaguars and Eagles coming your way Sunday with the Sunny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show, and that starts at 1 o'clock. Don't forget, the next two home games are late starts, 4 o'clock. So we'll begin with the pregame coverage at 1 o'clock. 2 hours of that followed by the Jaguars pregame show, which begins at 3 o'clock. Cole comes along with the Aetna Halftime Show. Then we'll wrap things up with the Winn-Dixie postgame show and your calls on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Everything you could want, every single play, whistle, grunt, groan, comes your way Sunday. Eagles and Jaguars here at Everbank Field. And just a reminder, because we haven't touched on it since the top of the show, today, Andy Reid, a day after the Eagles head coach announced that Kevin Cobb would be his team's starting quarterback on Sunday here in Jacksonville, has flip-flopped, and he is going with Mike Vick. So Mike Vick, the starting quarterback, that move said to be permanent, meaning it is for the remainder of this year at the very least. And I think Vick has 1 year remaining on his deal. Or was it a two-year deal? You're a Phillies fan. You're a Flyers fan. You're an Eagles fan. Yeah, so it's this year. It was a two-year deal that he signed last year. So then, of course, they can make a decision on what they want to do with him.
Where did you hear that he may be it for the rest of the year? That's news to me.
Well, no, that's what it says. If you go to any of the ESPN.
So Cobb's really banged up.
Whether he's banged up or whether, you know, I mean, hey, it's a tough spot now. I mean, Mike Vick goes on the road, and even though it was Detroit, I think most people would tell you that Detroit's an improved football team. Mm-hmm. And Vick made some big throws and made some things happen. Of course, the dynamic that he brings with his legs. But there's been few people in the history of the league that have his speed and elusiveness. So you're talking about a guy that Andy Reid has put the stamp on. And that here's the part that's so surprising about that. Not just that he said it yesterday that Cobb was his guy, but that they spent the entire offseason. They traded Donovan, and they spent the entire offseason building their plan around Kevin. Pocket passer, the whole nine yards. But obviously Vic made it work, and as long as DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin and LeSean McCoy are making plays, I guess they don't feel like they need that pocket passer.
So the coaches, of course, won't answer this question, but I mean, who would you rather face, Cobb or Vic?
Oh, I think most players would tell you they'd rather get Kevin Cobb. He's a young quarterback. He's a pocket passer. We saw him in the preseason. He's mobile enough to get outside and make some things happen, but he's going to stand in the pocket. Vic is going to run these guys ragged. I mean, he's all over the place. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to beat them, but he's going to wear them out because that's what he likes to do, is run all over the place. All right, we appreciate you joining us this evening. Jaguars and Eagles Sunday afternoon. All the action right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.